This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fast 15. Aaron, I should know this. I know I asked you a few weeks ago. Do you have kids?
I do. I have a three-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Yep.
So is Disney a big deal in your... I heard you talking about the Disney thing that's coming here.
Starting to become a big deal. She's starting to finally grasp on to, you know, plots and characters, who's bad, who's good, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Because it became just all-consuming for us, because on our fifth wedding anniversary... we took our daughter to Disney on Ice, and that's not a romantic night for mom and dad on their fifth anniversary. But then here's the thing, and I don't know. Are you all streaming? Do you have the Disney Plus? And you don't do anything on DVD?
No, I cut cable a couple years ago, and I'm not going back. I'm a streamer.
So you don't have anything?
Nope. Well, I stream. I stream movies and TV.
Okay. Yeah. Because one of the great joys of parenthood was we would sit and watch, and they were on VHS at the time, but we had all the Disney movies, and my daughter loved them. And on Saturday mornings, she'd get up, you know, before mom and dad wanted to get up, and she'd, you know, come and wake us, and she'd want to watch a Disney movie, and we'd get up, and then maybe we could get back to bed after that. But when she was about... just over two, she figured out on her own how to turn on the TV, put in the VCR, and fire it up on her own. And that was like an extra two-hour bonus sleep every Saturday morning. It was fantastic.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. And yeah, my kids, she's starting to learn the remotes. And, you know, it's amazing what they latch on to and how quickly... they can learn how to use, you know, like an iPad and an iPhone now. It's a little scary, but yeah, I'm with you that it helps with the sleeping in, certainly.
Yeah, I'm glad that we had our Disney experience 30 years ago. Too woke now for me. All right, Aaron, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Heather Bosch sent us this story. The new Stanwood Superintendent of Schools is going to make $250,000 a year. Her name's Deborah Rumbaugh. And I guess the previous superintendent up there was making $263,000 in her final year. So now they're going to be paying $250,000. But just the terms of the contract, 12 days of sick leave, 30 days of paid vacation. You get 6 weeks off. And I don't know if that's in addition to the summertime and the, you know, the spring break, midwinter break, Christmas break. Can't call it Christmas break. Winter break. Sorry. But yeah, $250,000 a year. And then as I was reading through it, this is what jumped out at me. She and her husband, who's a high school teacher in Auburn, the couple has 9 grown children. That's a baseball team. 9 grown children. It's pretty impressive. All right, so $250,000 a year. Your tax dollars at work. But in all seriousness, when we are told that the schools are underfunded, then it's because of bureaucracy. It's because they have so many people making well over 6 figures, and those people have very little to do with the education of kids. So that's where your tax dollars are going when you get a $4,000, $5,000, $8,000, $12,000, $15,000 property tax bill. All right, let me get to the fastest 15. I just had to get through those things there. Hey, Nicole, while I'm pulling up the fast 15 here, how was your 3-day weekend?
It was great. I had a little friends watching party with some friends and my niece.
Oh, how was that? I don't get
that
HBO Plus. Was it a well done show?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, my ideal friends reunion would have been an episode 20 years later, right? Where you saw them all in the future, but
yeah,
it wasn't. And I thought that it was silly to have you know, Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber on there, but then say that you didn't have time for Paul Rudd, who was actually on the show, and Ben, Dylan Sprouse, the kid that played Ben on the show, you know, they couldn't fit in the show, but Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber did. I thought that was silly. But for the most part, it was pretty fun. And we had
it hosted by James Corden?
Yeah, and I actually thought he did pretty well. The thing about James Corden is that he is great at being excited. So he is the audience watching. So I appreciate that about him.
Right.
He asked questions that we would ask, you know?
By the way, I wonder if the listeners noticed that we don't have the delay anymore, so we don't walk all over each other when we try to chit-chat now.
I know, it's great. Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, let me get into Fast 15 here. So our vice president, this was a horrible weekend for the administration. Let's start with Kamala Harris, who on Friday sent out a vanity tweet, and it was a picture of her, her head to the side, smiling or laughing, that laugh that she does. And the entire caption was, "Enjoy the long weekend." It was not, you know, as I wrote on Twitter, maybe it would have been a little more appropriate instead of putting the vanity picture of herself, instead of just saying, enjoy the long weekend, maybe if she had just paid tribute to the reason we were having a long weekend, the reason why so many people visited cemeteries and remembered loved ones who gave the ultimate sacrifice. But no, it's just a picture of herself and enjoy the long weekend. And she tried to fix it, and she sent out another one yesterday that paid tribute to the fallen. But, man, well, here's what I tweeted when I retweeted it. I'm sure what she meant to say was, God bless all the men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice and their families. We humbly and with tremendous gratitude honor your memory. Or sadly, maybe that never crossed her mind. But you got lambasted.
I saw that tweet of yours, and it reminded me why I wish you didn't tweet as much, because I saw the responses. And of course, there's a few supportive responses, and then just garbage.
People defending her vanity tweet. I know. But the thing about her is, when she was running for president, she was, along with Jay Inslee, she was one of the first out. She couldn't even get 1% support among Democrats when she was running for president. And it was for a different reason than Jay Inslee. Jay Inslee, people were just apathetic about. They didn't care. He got 0% of Democratic support. But Kamala Harris, Democrats did not like her. And now they're in this really awkward position of trying to defend stuff like that ridiculous tweet. But it wasn't just Kamala. It was your president of the United States. You know, I can't defend what Joe Biden has done with so many little girls over his lifetime. And it's, you know, their videos. They're 20-minute compilation videos on YouTube of when somebody's being sworn into the Senate. Joe Biden, the family would be with them, and Joe Biden would always have his hands on the shoulders of little girls or around the waist, and some of the girls were visibly so uncomfortable. In many of the clips, he leans down and smells their hair. It's the creepiest stuff imaginable. You know, if anybody who didn't like what Trump said on the Access Hollywood bus, at least he was dealing with adults who had a choice in being there or not. We're talking about little girls. And now listen to this. He was once again speaking over the weekend, and there is a little girl for veterans for Memorial Day. I think it was on Saturday. But there was a little girl who's a member of a family of a guy who was being honored. And I've seen the pictures of this little girl. She looks like she might be 6, 7, I don't even think 8, but she's just a little girl. Listen to what the president of the United States, who, you know, 2 years ago had to apologize for how inappropriate he was with women, And listen what he said about a 6 or 7 year old girl.
And I want to thank you for all that you do to represent these service veterans, because they're devoted to you. It's the family members, the caregivers, survivors who call Virginia home. I'm especially honored to share the stage with Brittany and Jordan and Nathan and Margaret Catherine. I love those barrettes in her hair, man. I tell you what, I look at her. She looks like she's 19 years old sitting there with her, like a little lady with her legs crossed.
Wow. And that's just really super creepy. But his mind's not all there. He doesn't even know what he's saying. But to save a 6 or 7 year old girl, I love those barrettes in your hair, man. You look like you're 19. Well, your legs are crossed. I was talking to a doctor friend over the weekend who has had patients with dementia, and he says, in his opinion, there's absolutely zero question that Joe Biden is in early stages of some level of dementia. And I think clips like that prove it. When you have no filter at all about what you say about a little tiny 6, 7 year old girl, that's creepy. He also had this moment over the weekend.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, etc.
Etc. Just pursuit of happiness. You could say that almost as quick as etc. But no, he blanks. Life, liberty, and etc. And this seems to be a particularly challenging line for Joe Biden. Remember during the campaign?
For America to get back up on its feet and once again fight for the proposition that we hold these truths to be self-evident. Sounds corny. Not a joke. Think about it. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing. You know how we talk about it. Are we the people? Folks.
You know the thing. He didn't even get into it that time. He didn't get to life and liberty. It's just, you know the thing. Now it's et cetera, et cetera. That teleprompter person has to do a better job. That's what I'm thinking there. Inflation numbers, horrible. Up another 3.1% this month, which is a tax on you. You know, 3.1, we had 4.2 last month. So we're averaging about 3.5, more than that, percent inflation. That means if you make $50,000 a year, your buying power is $1,750 less. If you make $100,000 a year, you're making about $3,500 less. It's a tax. Inflation is a stealth tax. And the people who are Joe Biden's puppet masters are doing what every economist knew what was wrong. You cannot have massive tax hikes in a recovering economy. And you can't just send out money and add to the debt, because now you have this huge influx of money and people are going out to spend it. And so what happens to the marketplace? Well, if demand goes up, supply remains constant, then the price goes up on the stuff they buy, the stuff we buy. And gasoline, as they have gone after the Keystone Pipeline and everything else, ordered stopping some drilling offshores. And gasoline, California, $6 a gallon. Here it was over $4 a gallon. And many stations this weekend. It's bad. Oh, man, it's bad. All right, and with all that as mere prelude, Sean DeTore, how about if we do a cancel culture update?
This is your cancel culture update.
Once again, I am not making this up. Our world has gotten so bizarre. Occasionally feel I don't make anything up. I don't need to. Life gives such a rich tapestry of insanity. And so here's the latest. A blue checkmark Twitter person named Laura Hogan, she sent out a reminder this weekend. It says, a teeny tiny inclusive language thing. I've tried to get better at this past year is avoiding Northern Hemisphere specific seasonal language. Like instead of saying the summer, I say the months I mean, or Q3, because it might not be that season, or it might be that season for me, but not that season for everybody. Because, of course, if you say summertime, well, in the Southern Hemisphere, that's their winter. And that might be offensive to them. And so this enlightened, woke Laura Hogan has reminded all of us that we will not celebrate Christmas in December. We will just have a nice Q4. And we won't go on summer vacation. We'll go on a Q3 vacation. And at the turn of the year, January, February, March, Q1. And so for all those reasons, summer, fall, winter, spring, you have been
canceled. This has been a Cancel Culture Update. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the hills that we climb were just seasons out of time.
Bye,
Papa, please pray for me.
I think everybody needs to pray for all of us.
I was the black sheep of the family.
In Q3.
You tried to teach me right from wrong.
I think things are going swimmingly well. I think this new woke culture is just a positive every way you can look at it. And all that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we will give you the world. Tuesday afternoon, wouldn't it be fun to play a little Name That Artist and chit-chat with our buddy Dave Wyman? I think we'll do just that coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Chris Isaac.
Nice job.
Dave.
Wyman.
Dave. Yes. What has gotten into you?
I don't know. Well, I got pantsed last time.
You beat me 3-1.
Well, I'd prefer if you found a
different
way to describe it. Didn't pants you. I just whooped your behind.
Same thing.
Okay. Dave Wyman's with us. That was very impressive. He's off to a 1-0 lead here. I was just listening to Aaron's news report. Stamps are going up from 55 to 58 cents. When was the last time you mailed a letter?
You know, probably about once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll throw something in the mail. But typically, I'll tell you the last one, I sent a letter that I found from my mom that she sent me in college. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. And Danny O'Neill, who I'm on the air with, he knows my mom really well. And so I sent that to him, a copy of it. But yeah, just because I knew he would like it. And, you know, every once in a while, we sort of wrote letters to each other during the whole pandemic lockdown.
Okay.
Just kind of our little thing.
You could just take a picture of the letter and text it to whoever you want to send it to.
Just not the same. Just like your note to your eye doctor.
That's right.
You know?
That's the only time I put anything in the mail. I write notes once in a while still. Like a really sweet kid invited me to his, he was attaining the position of Eagle Scout. Hmm. And it was way up, I don't remember if it was North Snohomish or Skagit County, and I was going to try to make it, and I couldn't make it up. So I wrote him a long note and put it in the mail, and then it was really sweet. Mom sent me a picture of him reading the note, and it's and I'm sorry, like with the eye doctor, I'm sorry that more people don't do that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll bring it back. I mean, when you do it, it's meaningful. It means they took the time to do that.
Yeah, there was a couple of things. Did you hear that the bodybuilder, who you may recall this from last year, he married two sex dolls?
No, see, no. I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
Or I heard it and I tried to block it out of my mind.
Well, he's back in the news today. He now says that he will be open to the idea of marrying a human woman, but only if she will accept his sex dolls as part of the family.
I'm just now looking at a picture. So, yeah. Wow. Okay. Is this why you brought me on?
Yeah. Actually, it kind of is. A couple of other things. Then we'll get to some local stuff. We were texting. I don't know if you got involved, but Moyer and I, and I know you were on the thread. This gal at the French Open, Naomi Osaka, who's just an incredibly talented, very young. She's won 4 Grand Slams already. She has more endorsements than anybody in women's tennis. And I thought you would be a particularly good person to ask about this. She says that she has anxiety and a mental disorder that makes her so nervous to sit and answer questions. And it is a rule of the majors that you have to, you know, like when Marshawn Lynch, you know, I'm just here so I won't get fined at the Super Bowl. And it's a rule. And so she just withdrew from the French Open. And the reason I wanted to get your perspective is because before you and I knew each other as friends, I was just the kid in the locker room, and you were one of my go-to interviews. In fact, you and Paul Moyer, because you both were always so nice and gracious and would answer anything. And it's just, it's very odd because it wasn't that tough for you to think about somebody who would rather withdraw from a tournament than just talk to the press.
Yeah, I just never found it to be... Well, she was talking about... Some of it is before her match, right? Does she have to do some things before the match, or is it always after? Because I thought there was something about that.
Well, there was something pre-tournament, and she hasn't done very well on clay courts, and some people were going to ask her about that, and then that was going to become an even bigger roadblock in her head. And
I mean, all these things are in place originally, you know, like in the NFL, because, look, you're trying to promote the NFL, and so that's why the NFL makes it you have to talk. But do they really need that anymore? That's the question, you know, that... They don't. And so now, you know, I know this for, you know, most teams, the media department is not there to promote. It's there almost to protect the players, you know. So, yeah, I mean, if they're not in a position, I'm sure she can get away with it. You know, I just never saw that it was that big of a problem. Look, I snapped a couple of times. I told a story the other day about how in Denver, you know, we were 2-14 here. I never heard anybody screaming or throwing stuff or anything at the Kingdom that year. We were 2-14, but in Denver, if you lost to, like we did on Christmas Eve to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the time, they weren't very good. These little punks would go by the back of the benches and just say whatever they want to you. And there's like a 6-foot chain link fence. And they would scream out. So anyway, I got into it with this guy, and then a reporter comes up and goes, "Hey, what was that about?" And I was still angry, and I said something about, you know, "I'll take that guy on anytime. I'll find him in the parking lot." I just went on and on and on. And so then I'm taking my stuff off and everything, and then I start to calm down. I went over to him later. I'm like, "Hey, can we just scratch all that stuff I said?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." So you know, but there
can
was
you imagine. How billion times tougher it is today when everybody's got to feed their Twitter feed and their other social platforms, and they will say so much crap just to try to get clicks. And man, I would imagine that today it's a million times harder.
Yeah, I guess my recommendation would be that you want people that you want there to be a little bit of mystery, you know? And so if somebody is a really prominent athlete, but they're not on Twitter and they're not on Instagram and they're not doing all this stuff and, you know, they're really popular and, you know, you kind of leave them wanting more and they can't get it because you're not available, you're not on there. I just think that is the way to go, you know, that, you know, just kind of be quiet and, you know, maybe a little bit of mystery around you, I think would actually get you more popularity than...
I embrace that. Yeah. Every day at 3:00, I leave my listeners wanting more.
That's right. Yeah. I leave my listeners wanting more at about 3 o'clock too, and the show's only halfway over. So
we will continue our conversation with Dave Wyman. I've got some local stuff I want to talk about.
Is this Simply Red?
Tears for Fears?
No, guys, Dave, that was simply wrong. You're in the right decade, though.
I know.
Simple Minds?
Let me get to that chorus. Will that take too long?
Simple, Dave.
I'm very simple.
Hey now.
This is terrible. I'll know it. Second.
I know this.
I give up.
Yeah, me too.
Crowded House, boys.
Crowded House.
You know what? I didn't know that.
Me neither.
I would not have gotten that.
Me neither.
That's, yeah, okay.
Takes a lot
That's
to admit
a hole
that,
in my Good Name Your Artist knowledge bank. Okay, Dave's still up 1-0. We will continue with Dave Wyman as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Natalie Merchant?
That's a bad, pretty good guess.
I thought that was wrong.
Oh, no, it's Cranberries. It's Cranberries.
Of course it's the Cranberries, Dory.
How about that?
All right. Song about a fart.
Let
it linger. No, it's not, Dave.
What's the matter with you?
Sean.
Lots of things.
That is true. Truer words
I like
were
that
never
answer.
Spoken.
I might have to steal that one. That's
I had that one. Cranberry CD, Dave.
Did you?
Yeah. I enjoyed them. They're from across the pond.
Are they?
Yeah. Okay, a couple things. I just heard a commercial. It's the vaccination celebration continues at the T-Mobile Park. I saw this story. There was a concert over the weekend. And the tickets were $18 if you were vaccinated, $1,000 if you were not vaccinated.
Really? It's worth that much, huh?
Apparently. Yeah. The Florida concert tickets. Yeah, they were just trying to make a point that. But again, like at the Mariners, at the ballpark, do people have to show their vaccination card or is it just honor system?
I thought they were still in the honor system, but,
okay. You
know, I was talking to my son last night about it, and he said, you know, it's, you know, any kind of, like, forgery or anything like that's going to be taken really seriously. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's still just, you know, the honor system there.
I wonder when, because I have a grocery store close to my house that I go to regularly, and again yesterday I went in. And I think there was one other unmasked person, but every single other shopper had a mask on in the store. And their policy now is we ask you to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated. Yeah. So I'm certainly within the store rules, and I don't understand why more people haven't rushed to get the masks off.
Yeah,
that makes sense to me.
Did you take that not many people are getting vaccinated, or that?
No.
That people are still just trying to be safe.
I think there are two things. I think a tiny percentage might think that it's safe, but I think a large percentage don't want to take the mask off because they are afraid of how other people will feel about them. And as you know, I couldn't possibly care less how other people feel about me.
Well,
so I don't care about that. I just want to breathe again.
Well, the reason why I've been nothing but compliant, even though a lot of it doesn't make sense. Like we were talking about how on the plane, you know, you can take it off for me to have 3 whiskeys during my flight because the takeoff out of Palm Springs was treacherous. It's weird. The older you get, the more like I'm afraid of flying. Now, I mean, when there's turbulent and everything, turbulence. But yeah, I mean, if I were to sit there and just slowly sip that the entire time, I could have my mask off, right?
Right.
But then I had twice where somebody, you know, came by the flight attendant and said, please put that up over your nose. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I just, it slipped down, whatever. I have no problem with that, just because I don't want to get into a hassle with somebody. But I do think that there's two kinds of people in this world. There are people that would, if you see somebody with a mask off or it's down, you either say something or you don't. I would not say anything. But yeah. But there are people that would definitely take it upon themselves to say something.
Hey, Nicole, will you bump up that woman in the elevator from several weeks ago? Do you have that by the end of the segment?
I'm on it.
Okay, thank you. Hey, one local thing. I saw that the Seahawks, according to reports, are in talks with the Atlanta Falcons for future Hall of Fame receiver Julio Jones. And you and I have watched this guy's whole career, and he's a phenomenal player. One, are the Seahawks going to get him? And two, if they do, what does that mean?
Well, the reason why the Seahawks are being mentioned in this is because they're in on everything. They're in on every, you know, somebody's available? Okay, yeah, let's check him out. So, you know, this is what, his 10th, he's played 10 years in the league. And, you know, I don't think he's quite what he used to be. I don't think they need him. But the thing is, people are saying, well, they need to get him so the 49ers don't get him, you know, or the Rams don't get him. But I just don't think that they need him. And, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, and who knows if they're going to stick to this, they've said the price tag is a first rounder. Well, they've already given away first rounders out to, you know, I think this would have to be the 2023 first round draft choice. So, yeah, Julio Jones is a fantastic player, but, you know, he played 9 games last year, you know, had 770 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's a fantastic, you know, whenever I talk about how hard it is to play corner, it's because you're playing against the best athletes in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Julio Jones is 6'3", 220, can jump out of the stadium, can run. I mean, he's just a fantastic athlete, but I just don't think that they need him here. And then,
sounds,
you know,
like a young Dave Wyman, the way you describe him.
Yeah. Oh, I always tell that story about how, you know, you get all these accolades, you did this and that in high school, and then you get to the NFL and everybody else has done it, but better. Yeah. There was a guy, I had a pretty good throw in high school. I threw the shot put 61 feet, you know, and that was, you know, that was considered like top 10 in the country, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I was in this locker room with a guy who threw it 80 feet.
Oh,
80.
Well,
Michael,
that's
Carter.
Like Olympic caliber.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know, but it was a 12 pound shot from high school, but I mean, you know, and then, you know, I remember Tommy Maddox was my roommate, and he told me he wasn't lying, but he was a backup quarterback, but he averaged 36 points a game in basketball.
Yeah, I know.
36. So, I mean,
it's
you
crazy.
Run into those guys all over the place. So, yeah, it's always funny when somebody tries to brag about their high school thing. They're like, yeah, everybody here is better than you.
I thought you'd enjoy this.
Me,
this
anyway.
Is how crazy people are driven by masks. This is on an elevator. A woman wanted to ride alone. She had her mask on. And then another woman with a mask on got on, but she didn't like having somebody that close to her.
My girl here wants me to come out of the elevator so she can come out of the elevator.
Because it's a small space we're supposed to maintain social distancing. I don't understand why you can't just
My girl, hold on, my girl, you want to stand in the elevator with me and catch it. Like, you're not making sense, and you might as well get up at your floor.
I'm trying to get up at the floor. I can't come close to you. Do you not understand that I'm an extreme?
Masks have driven people insane, Dave. I rest my case.
Apparently, yeah.
This is for all the marbles. You too?
You too got it.
This is you too.
No, just one of us got it. That'd be me. Dave, I can't remember when we've had a lovelier time.
Yeah, well, I can.
Thanks for coming by.
All right, thanks for having me on.
You can hear Dave every afternoon.
Nicole.
Station 710 ESPN Seattle.
Thanks,
and the big lead at 2 is coming up next.